You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Across the country, Democrats are sensing opportunity in this year's midterm elections thanks to an historically unpopular Republican president and an even less popular Republican Congress. Come November, the entire House of Representatives is up for election. 14 of those seats belong to Michigan. Let's talk about this now with our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. We're hearing this phrase wave election a lot, as in, will this year be a wave election for Democrats? Will it not? Rick, what is a wave election?
Typically, a wave election is one where individual candidates matter less than the voting public going decisively for one party or another, usually in response to the party that is currently in power.
Okay, pretty much what I set up as we talked about.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we saw one in 2006, right? This was sort of the second midterm of George W. Bush's presidency. Folks were very frustrated with the Iraq War. That's when Nancy Pelosi became the first female Speaker of the House, because there was a big Dem wave that continued in 2008 for the Democrats. But then in 2010, there was the big sort of Tea Party backlash.
There we go. So here we talk about this national buzz. Will this be a wave election year? Zoe, how important is Michigan in this conversation?
Right. Well, so the entire House of Representatives will be up for election in November 2018, 435 seats, of which 14 Michigan owns. So when you do the math, I mean, sure, we got 14 seats. You know, we're not a California population-wise. We're not entirely huge. You know, we used to have, what, 19, 20 in our congressional delegation. So not what it used to be, but hey, we're 14 strong.
Well, plus Michigan gets a lot of attention for having helped put Donald Trump in the White House.
Absolutely. And because Michigan, as this industrial state that had gone blue for six presidential election cycles before going red for Donald Trump, that suddenly put Michigan in the spotlight of, you know, are we blue? Are we red? Are we a little purple? What are we? Who are
what
we?
Are we? And Rick, I know you want to add something.
It's not just the fact that Michigan went for Donald Trump, but Michigan is also considered emblematic of a lot of industrial states. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Wisconsin also helped Donald Trump win in 2016. That, you know, we're looking at Pennsylvania, you know, states that are considered traditionally blue collar, a lot of economic focus on industry. Ohio falls into that category as well. And so, not only is it that Michigan matters, but that Michigan is also typically part of a trend of decisive states going in one direction or another.
So here we have the 14 seats, three of them with no incumbents here in Michigan. Rick, what sides are forming first for the Democrats?
And what you're referring to is the fact that because these seats are open, that there's a lot of interest in them. And so we're going to see, you know, not just fights in the November general, but also in the August primaries. What we're going to be looking for in the primaries is, how are both parties healing their rips? Mm-hmm. On the Democratic side, it's whether or not the Democrats have been able to bring home the Bernie Sanders progressives and have them make peace with the mainstream or centrist Clinton-style Democrats.
And I think that's a really interesting dynamic in Michigan, particularly because, of course, Bernie Sanders won the primary here in Michigan, which I think for many people should have sort of been a, whoa, what just happened? And instead, political reporters and the like sort of went, oh, well, you know, populist agenda, that sort of worked. And then, you know, we shouldn't have been that shocked then that another sort of considered outsider, Trump, then won Michigan in November.
Zoe, what about Republicans? Do GOP candidates in Michigan this year run with Trump or run away from him? What are the pros and cons of each choice?
That is the $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion question here for every single Republican. You've got Bill Schuette, who's running for governor, who's kind of still has this Trump bromance, tweeting, retweeting Trump's endorsement of him, a photo of Schuette sitting next to Steve Bannon, who needs no reintroduction now after this
not these last few days
week. And then you've got also running for governor, you know, Brian Kelly, lieutenant governor, who's been a little hands off of Trump. Talking about the congressional delegation, it is going to be wait and see, I think, for a lot of these candidates, which was sort of how it was was in 2016. All of them eventually endorsed except for Fred Upton. Upton is running again, but we'll see, particularly in these open seats, I'm thinking especially for the Dave Trott seat, what do these Republicans do? Do they start pushing a little bit more moderate? The problem with that, of course, though, is the primary. And that's where the real conservative activist voters come out. So what do? You kind of lean to the right before the primary, then try to push back for the general. And this is going to be, like I said, the million, billion, trillion dollar question for Republicans right now.
Let's look at the three Michigan districts that do not have an incumbent, starting with the 13th district. No representative now that John Conyers has resigned. Rick, is there any opening at all here for a Republican?
Absolutely none. That the respected Cook Political Report calls that a D32 district. And that means that district is so Democratic that the Democratic nominee starts out with a built-in 32-point advantage. It's one of the things that happens with gerrymandering, is that you try and pack as many of the other side's voters into as few districts as possible. But what you wind up with are super partisan districts.
Rick, what about the 9th, now that Sandra Levin has retired? Is that also, is it going to, leans Democrat, right?
That is a D4, which means that there's a 4-point advantage. And so that would be a leans Democratic district. And so in theory, in the right year, Republicans should have a chance there. But it doesn't seem to be one that Republicans, at least at this juncture, are looking at making a strong run at, because they're playing defense in so many places in Michigan and across the country. That if you look at the number of toss-up seats across the country, I'll go back to Cook's, Democrats, four toss-up seats. Republicans, 17. And that just expands out in the, you know, in the leaning seats as well. So Republicans are just playing a lot more defense, not as many opportunities to go on offense.
Zoe, what about the 11th district where Dave Trott's decided, I'm done?
Yeah, so that's sort of the opposite, if you kind of, you know, inverted the parties.
Yes.
In the 11th, where Dave Trott is the Republican, said no thanks to a third term. There appears, if Democrats were looking at a seat, you know, and salivating, that might be one. And again, that goes with sort of that Democratic wave if that happens in 2018. There's a possibility. It, of course, depends on the candidate, how much money they can raise. And again, turnout.
That's the big challenge for Dems.
That one is the one in Michigan that's considered a true toss-up seat.
Exactly.
Okay. And what about the Republican incumbents in Michigan most vulnerable to being picked off by the right Democrat? What names come to mind, Zoe?
So I would say Tim Walberg and Mike Bishop. These are both Republicans in seats that, if the Democrats had the resources and the wherewithal, that's where they would focus.
And a wave.
But again, part of this goes to Dave Trott now open, which seems a little more doable. In some ways, Walberg and Bishop might be thanking Dave Trott for getting out of the race, putting more Democratic resources into that seat. But Tim Walberg's seat in those waves that I was talking about in 06, 08, and 10, those went back and forth. Walberg won it in 06, Mark Schauer won it 08, and then Tim Walberg won it back in 10. So that's one to watch, although that district has changed a little bit with redistricting in 2011.
And Tim Walberg has succeeded in redistricting, in getting Calhoun County and Battle Creek, home of his political nemesis, Mark Schauer, and in the primary, Joe Schwartz, living in someone else's district now.
Indeed.
What about the first, Rick? I mean, Jack Bergman won the race, but didn't Democrat Lon Johnson kind of give him a run for the money?
He sure tried, but, you know, the reality is that the first congressional district is Trump country. And Jack Bergman will run as a Trump loyalist. And the expectation is that if there's any place in the state where Republicans can turn out the Trump coalition once more to win in November, that it's the first.
Back to the expectations and Democratic hopes of a wave election. So we talked about what Republican candidates, the decision they're facing, and how close do you tie yourself to Donald Trump? Rick, what about for the Democratic candidates? Is calling, for example, for the president's outright impeachment, is that fraught with its own political risks?
Yes, and that is one of the controversies within the Democratic coalition. How much time are you, it's look what happened to Hillary Clinton, that she spent the campaign largely running against Donald Trump. And there are a lot of Democrats who say, within that path lies peril, that what Democrats need to do is they need to tell voters what they are going to do for them should they win a majority in the House or the Senate or both, and not merely set themselves up as foils to Donald Trump.
Zoe, last word, what do Michigan Dems need to be mindful of to try to make this a real wave election?
Exactly what Rick said, and then again, turnout. That it, you know, in Michigan, there are more Democrats. We know this. The fact is they don't turn out, and they particularly don't turn out in these off-year, you know, elections, in these midterms. And so that's really, you know, they got to fill up the buses. They've got to, you know, carpools, all of these things, and get people to the polls if they're going to have a chance, particularly in Southeast Michigan.
Rick Pluta, Zoe Clark, our It's Just Politics team. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
You bet.